Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I'm thankful, brothers and sisters, for the Lord. I'm thankful for a brotherhood. You know, many people don't have a church. You know, and I think my heart goes out to them. You know, and a lot of times we could just get, you know, legalistic or to the law of things and say, oh, you know, and start rebuking people. Oh, you need to be in the house of God. But my heart goes out to many people because it's difficult many times to find a place that you could be fed and worship the Lord and find a kindred type spirit and anointing, the things that are pleasing to God. There's just a lot of allowances that are being made in the day and hour that we're in. You know, and I'm not blessing or putting God's feet to people not having a place. I think you need to seek and search, and God will help you. People need to find a house of God to be in. They need to be within a brotherhood. Amen. You know, and the wonderful thing about being part of a brotherhood, and we got a wonderful brotherhood here at Christian Temple, but the wonderful thing about it is that we could help one another, pray with one another, strengthen one another. We hear, you know, iron sharpens iron. We could sharpen each other up a little bit, you know. And when you're around the sons of God, the brotherhood, you know, they might be offering a little exhortation to, you know, brother, we don't believe that. Or brother, we don't walk that way. We don't live that way. And it helps us to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Some people don't like correction. They don't like reproof and rebuke. But, you know, the sons of God, brothers and sisters, know that they're exhorted and that they receive correction. Amen. It may not be pleasant for the moment, but the Bible teaches us it yields forth righteous fruits. Amen. And the thing is, you know, a tree, it's springtime now. We see all the trees blooming out and everything, and the fruit trees starting to come around. But you know that the one that knows how to care for the trees and different kind of things know that there's a time in the winter months to prune them back a little bit, and they cut them back, and it's going to make them more healthy and more productive. Well, sometimes that's the preacher's job. Sometimes he's got to do just a little bit of pruning. Things are starting to grow out a little bit and get a little wild and prune it back for it to produce fruit. When we start making allowances for the things of the world and worldly things, when we start making allowance for those things, sometimes those things got to be trimmed back and hedged back and cut back. Amen. You know, and you can cut them back too far and kill the tree. So you got to find the wisdom of the Lord. Amen. And I'm always looking for that and seeking for that. I don't want to do it by my own understanding. You know, so many times I think, well, this man needs this, or that man needs that, or this sister needs that. But you know what? There's one that really knows, and it's the Lord Jesus, and we have to yield. Amen. To Him. And when we can yield over to Him and His presence, His mind, His spirit, then we'll find that we have what the people need. Amen. If it's exhortation, it'll come forth. If it's edification, it'll come forth. Amen. So we want to walk in the spirit of the living God. We want to serve the living God. Amen. You love the Lord this morning. There's some things on my heart, and I like to preach. Amen. I do like to teach. The Bible said that the bishop or the pastor's apt to teach. You know, and a lot of preachers, a lot of times, they like to just preach, you know, and I like preaching. By the foolishness of preaching, you know, people come and there's an increase added to the kingdom. Amen. But you know, people need to be taught. And so oftentimes, when I go into the things to try to teach, the Lord will bring us to preaching for a while, maybe a little teaching. In the aspect, we could learn by preaching. There's edification and there's understanding that goes forth in preaching likewise. But sometimes you have to slow things down a little bit and try to do a little bit of teaching and get down just like a school teacher. You know, if you go to school, you know, we had teachers that shouted at us sometimes at school, amen, and there's nothing wrong with that. We needed to be shouted at. But sometimes they would just slow down a little bit, take their time, and try to do just a little bit of teaching and things. This morning the Lord dealt with me to do some teaching out of the book of Revelation. And maybe this morning you can go with me to the book of Revelation over to the 21st chapter. Amen. You know, I think my late pastor, Brother George, such an awesome man of God. I tell you, you know, we've all had been fortunate to be blessed with great men of God in our lives that have helped us, led us, taught us, exhorted us, you know, over the years. And I'm thankful. We're partakers with a ministry that they gave a name, the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I could take you over in the beginning of the book of Revelations and we could read and speak about the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some think, you know, when they read over in the book of Revelation that it's the Revelation of John. No, it's the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That he shared with John. Amen. To put it in a book and write it down. Many times, I remember he made an exhortation. He said, you need to be careful when you go to the book of Revelation. He said, you don't want to just go over there in some intellectual perspective and do a line upon line teaching in the book of Revelation. He said, God won't suffer that. He said, you want to be that moves you over there. I feel the Lord to take us over there this morning. He may remove us out of there just the same way. But I'm going to try to speak about some things and to bring a little bit of an understanding about some things in the book of Revelation. There's some things that many times we read, and because we put things in a chronological order, we miss the revelation of the Lord. Just as I came up here a moment ago, I made a statement. I said, some people are serving the God that was. There's nothing wrong with speaking about the historical events of the God that was. And some are looking for the God that's coming. They say, oh, we're waiting for, you know, the eastern sky to roll back like a scroll. And boy, we're waiting on the coming of the Lord. You know, and I'm not going to find fault with that either, brothers and sisters, because they got Bible for that. But then, as I said, a God that is. We need to understand the God that is. It's wonderful to talk about the historical events or the futuristic events. But if we're not walking today with the God that is, then we're not going to ever be able to walk with the one that you are speaking about coming. So many people are thinking that God's just going to, for all the present day events and all the present day actions, all the things that are going on in your lives right now, that it's all just going to be, so to speak, just wiped away. And I know what it is by the purging and the doing away with sin. But they just think that, you know, it's all just going to be under the blood. But brothers and sisters, we came to a place through the blood, amen. And now we're the sons of God because we're led by the Spirit of God and we're walking in the Spirit. I'm sorry to say that many Christian people that profess Christianity, and I try to be careful using the terminologies, because there's certain ways we could speak by the Spirit, there's certain ways we speak by the soul, and certain ways we speak by the body and by the flesh. So we have to be careful, because I would never speak against a Christian. So when I say Christian people, many times I'm speaking in a general way. There's a lot of professing people that profess Christianity, but they don't possess Christianity. They don't possess the Jesus, the Spirit of the living God. But they still number themselves. There's spots and blemishes in the Feast of Charity. You know, again, as we say, Satan came into the house of God. We find Jesus by himself, solely up on the Mount of Temptation, but the devil was there also. So we find that if we off by ourselves, secluded, and we get away and we start praying, we're going to find the devil there. He's going to come by the way of thoughts. He's going to come into your thoughts, into your mind. He's going to try to hinder you. He's going to try to get your mind drifting away and get you double-minded and unstable. So there's something, you know, without the influence of other people, other men, or anything, you are in a spiritual warfare, amen, and you have to learn to get established and to press in and to hold on and to get into the things with the Lord. Let me read a scripture here, and it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." If I was going to, by the mind of Revelation or the mind of Christ, expound on that one scripture, we wouldn't have time this morning. And you think, well, what is so special about that scripture? Well, again, people, when they read these scriptures, they take it to was or is to come. But they never bring it into a present truth. If we try to go into the book of Revelations and study it or read it in a chronological aspect, saying, well, you know, we go over here at the first book, and it's, if you're not sure what chronological means, it's in a timely order, like a dispensation, you know, like of grace, and then you had a dispensation of the law and a dispensation of man. And these things will run in somewhat of a chronological order. People say, well, we're in this dispensation of grace, you know, underneath the blood. And I say, there is an order to that. But the thing is we're sons of God. And when you get into the Spirit, there's no time. You understand that? No time. And you say, well, I'm in the Spirit, but I still honor time. Well, you see, we differentiate again between the man. Man is relative to time. Man has an appointed time, appointed number of days to go back to the dust, to go back to the dirt. But you see, there's an eternal spirit within that man that isn't relative to the beggarly elements of this world. He's not relative to time. And you say, what does this have to do with this first verse here? Well, I'm helping you to understand that when you hear a man speak, you could just immediately hear a couple words, as Brother Ed said at the beginning in a service, you know, we hear the end of the matter. And I could start to expand on this because it's outside of your understanding of what you think it is. Then you're just going to shut off and never hear the end of the matter. When you could learn to find that God is dealing, when he speaks in his word, he's dealing with these different dimensions, you know, dealing with these different heavens. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I know that right here when it says the earth passed away, I know that that's, you know, hasn't happened yet. Are you sure? Let me tell you something. Do you think the Bible's contrary to itself? Because the Bible says that the heavens and the earth will never pass away in another place. Never. So then I'm saying, well, it passed away here. So see, we got the foundation's sake of what I'm saying here before we go on. You could say right here, this is the Bible refers this to the earthen vessel. Okay? The earthen vessel. It's made of the elements of this earth. Now the thing is I could say I'll never pass away. I'll never die. Amen. I've got Bible for that. But the thing is what you know me as of right now, as this earthly man, that part will pass away. But you know, I'm eternal in the heavens already, brothers and sisters. I'm not seeking like some are looking for eternal life. I am eternal life. Amen. I've been hid away in Christ, sealed away. You understand that? I'm eternal. Nothing could be laid to my charge. Nothing could touch me. Nothing could bring harm to me. Nothing could pluck me out of the hand of God. Now see, I'm speaking by the Spirit. But now if I start differentiating between this earth, the Bible talks about celestial bodies, telestial bodies. You see, a lot of people read by those things and they go on, they don't put any thought to that. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, this is a telestial earth that you're looking at, a natural thing. It's relative to this dust, to this dirt. And we start differentiating between the earths. Amen? So when we go to these passages of scriptures like this, we've got to find the mind of revelation, the mind of the Lord, the mind of the Spirit on these things, for we could really get what God is trying to say unto us. Now, if you're going to try to hold me to being an earthly man, when I start expounding and speaking, then I would speak as Paul did. He said, I'd really like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Now, if you try to hold me to everything as an earthly man, I can't get into the revelation or the mind of God with you at all. You understand that? You've got to learn again to differentiate or to make these separations. I've got an inner man and outer man. Okay? There's a telestial earth, a celestial earth. The Bible said when it's talking about flesh, it said that there's beast flesh. You understand that? There's fish flesh. I can take you into these scriptures. It's your obligation to take and look some of these things up. I can't take it all these and show you, but it's your obligation as children of God, as sons of God, to go look these things up. But it's speaking about more than one kind of flesh. And when it goes on and talking about celestial bodies, heavenly bodies, you see, there is another flesh that is not relative to this earth. It's not made with hands. It's not the body that was buried in the ground, brothers and sisters. It's not that one that I'm speaking about when I'm speaking about this spiritual body, this heavenly body, this eternal body. Amen. It's different. The Bible teaches, and you know, the church world, you know, they talk about rapture. Oh yeah, the rapture. Praise God. Someday everything's going to be okay as soon as the rapture happened. You poor thing. Everything's okay now. Hallelujah. We're sons of God. Amen. We're the children of God now. We're eternal now. We've passed from death unto life now. Nothing, brothers and sisters. We can't die. Why can't we die? Because we can't sin. And death is the sting of sin. You understand what I'm saying? So we can't die, brothers and sisters. So, you know, we got to learn to speak properly by the Spirit of God. You see, we're more than conquerors. Amen. Maybe you're looking to conquer, but the last enemy of God was death. And when Jesus hung his head on Calvary, said, it's finished. What was finished? Death was abolished. It was conquered. You know what abolished me? It was done away with. I'm talking to the sons of God this morning. You know, you can keep on looking for your hope in the future, but I'm trying to bring it to you today for you can start walking, not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You can get really a hold of things. When we start talking about the body, and I say, I'm the body of Christ, you know, and then you got to differentiate that. Well, what does that mean? You know, we all say these terminologies. Well, what is the body of Christ? What is a many-membered body? You know, we start getting into all these things, but we need to get our thoughts established. Amen. Commit your works unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And your thoughts will be established. A lot of people can't come to revelational understanding under revelational thoughts is because they're not established. They're tossed to and fro, double-minded, and they never get their thoughts established. But see, we're not trying to establish a carnal man's thought this morning. We're trying to come into the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ this day that we could perceive and understand and comprehend. Amen. As we say so often, the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's word. Back over to Revelation chapter 21, the first verse again. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, let me ask you something. We talk about a new birth. I was born. My father could talk about, you know, some 53 years ago when I was born, 54, somewhere around there. You know, he could talk about when I was born. He goes, oh yeah, I've got a new son. He had two other sons. I had two older brothers. He said, yeah, I got a new son. You know, a new birth. We could talk about that, seeing that dimension. But then yet, I'm born again now. We must be born again, the Bible says. Now, I know it looks like I may be drifting from this a little bit, but I'm just helping you with some foundational thoughts that we could perceive and understand and comprehend. Amen. So now we look here and I say new heaven and new earth. What's the old heaven and the old earth? How many earths is there? How many heavens are there? As I say so oftentimes, we've got record in the scriptures about a third heaven. Is the third heaven? Is the first heaven? Is the second heaven? Talks about the heavens passing away. Now the thing is there's another scripture that says the earth abideth forever. Now if I talk about me, I say abideth forever. Is it in this earth that you see here? This earth right here, physical, has to do with the second, in one perspective of differentiation, has to do with the second dimension, physical, natural, physical, and spiritual. Body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost. The Word made flesh. Word walked among you. You see? So then we start differentiating these things. I'm trying to take my time and speak a little slow because I get in the spirit sometimes and I get going real fast. And I know that many times people that are not indoctrinated in breaking things and understanding things, rightly dividing the Word of God, separating these things to understand them out in their dimensional powers. You see, I could speak by the third heaven, by the Spirit. I could speak by the Spirit. And you, if you don't understand revelational understanding of what it is to be a new creature in Christ, you would say, man, Brother Rob, you can't talk like that. You're blaspheming. You can't speak like that. Well, I can't speak like that as a man, but I could speak like that as a son of God. Again, I may sound repetitive sometimes, but you know, son of man, son of God. Jesus made himself twain. Twain means two. He made him both man and made him both God. Well, which one was he? He was both. He wasn't two persons there or three persons there. He was Jesus walking in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You understand that? But we have to make a twain there. He came in the image of the earthly. But then yet, he wasn't created from the seed of the earthly man, but he came from the seed of God, the same seed that remaineth in me, that makes me a son of God, that keeps me unspotted, that keeps me away from sin. You see, the Bible didn't say I might, perhaps, or could sin. It said I cannot sin because that seed's in me. Now, what dimension are you speaking in there, Brother Rob, when you say that? It's the third heaven. I can't sin. There's no sin there. Because if sin was there, that means death is there. Death cannot get in there. You understand? Because death was taken care of and put out. Amen? So we got to start trying to understand some things in the mind of Christ. You know, and a lot of times we use terminologies, and the terminology is to gather thoughts to be established. Where a lot of times, you know, people use terms like rapture, or they use terms like millennium, you know, where the Bible would say thousand-year reign. Or it doesn't use the term rapture in the Bible, but we could go to the scriptures and find a transfiguration. We could find a witting the redemption of the body. We could find a catching up. So see, we try to keep things in order, but then yet it's hard to just eliminate everybody's terminologies, you know, and the way they speak things, because the church people get together and they make churches and they say, well, we're this group of people because we believe in pre-tribulation rapture. So now they're using a term that we got to address. Well, do you believe in pre-tribulation rapture, Brother Rob? Sure I do. I believe in mid-tribulation rapture also, and I believe in post-tribulation rapture. And said, no, you're confused, but maybe you ought to consider, maybe you're the one that's confused. Because I could take you to the Bible and show you where they all are there. And people will say, well, I don't believe you can. I can do that. You see, but we have to understand. You know, let me ask you a question. The Bible says that we're dwelling in heavenly places. Is that correct? That's what the Bible teaches us. We're dwelling in heavenly places. Well, if I'm in a heavenly place, how did I get there? To your understanding, raptured. Or I could say caught away. Now see, now if you're going to hold me to a verbatim on a lot of things in the ways of scripture and things like that, then I may turn around and hold you to it. But my Bible teaches me that I must take up the cross every day and be crucified with Christ. You know, so am I going to have to walk out the door of this church and find some cross out there and say, Brother, would you take the honor today to nail me to this cross and kill me? You see, we're speaking in another dimension then, aren't we? But you say, well, you know, that dimension really doesn't mean anything. It's more real than this one you're in. This world is the lying vanity. What you see with your eyes, what you touch with your hands is the lying vanity. But I'm speaking things by the Spirit. So now, if Jesus made himself twain, both man and God, both son of man, both son of God, I got to do the same thing. But I have a duty to every single day kill the son of man out, me, my first birth. Relative to the son of perdition. And it's my duty to every single day to rapture, to catch up this inner quickening of the spirit, this inner man, one relative to the throne of God that's created, this new creature created after the image of God. Now this one's got to be caught up every day. So I'm talking about a daily rapture. So the thing is that if I'm already caught away into heavenly places, I can say I've already been raptured. And see, I'm not in air there. He said, where I am, you will be there also. So the Lord Jesus said this. So where's Jesus at? Well, he's in heaven. I say yea and amen. But then yet he's in here with us today because two or three of us gathered. So did he leave heaven? into a mind. I'm not trying to confuse people. I'm trying to bring them into an understanding. I'm not confused about these things. And because you don't understand it, with you with a lack of wanting to pray and to ask God to grant unto you the spirit of revelation and an act of being godly and holy and really wanting to press into the deep things of God or to make yourself a steward of the mysteries of God, it's easier for you to say, you know, that preacher's a wacko. That preacher ain't right with God. That preacher, man, he's all confused. He's all messed up. And that's easy for you to do that, for you could go on about your carnal-minded business and go on about your little religious frolics and be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But this kind of teaching, brothers and sisters, when you start looking and understanding dimensional things, this kind of teaching will get you established where you can understand and you could see where people are at and where they're coming from, for you can understand what they're holding on to. Because I say so oftentimes that what people do is they take their Bibles, and this one will take and read a scripture of the Bible to you and say, well, let me tell you, brother, I got the Word of God, and they make a statement, and they'll make a stand on it, and they're in error. The letter of the law killeth. You know, and you could take this word with its quotes and kill people and yourself with it. If we could come to an understanding to differentiate the mind of God, the Word of God, into first, second, and third heaven, or body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, we say these things, and as much as I say them, there's many people that don't understand them. There's so many doctrines out there, so many teachings, so many denominations that are built on these things of false doctrine. And if they would just pray, seek after the Lord, come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus, then they could get established in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go back and read verse 1 again. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now, I'm going to speak about that word sea there for just a second. Because a lot of times you say, well, I know that this can't bring into a present truth, but thus, us, and us, and you go on things. That word sea is rendered in other places in the Bible as salt. Now, who's the salt of the earth? Amen. And when the salt loses its savor. Let me speak about it for a moment and talk about, could we bring the earth passing away in this present day and hour? I'm not going to turn you there. I'm going to speak it. You can go there and look it. I believe it's in 1 John, the 5th chapter. It talks about three witnesses in the earth. And it talks about water, blood, and spirit. And then it also talks about three in the heavens. Amen. And it talks about Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Now, when we start looking at the different covenants of water, blood, and spirit, for you can understand where I'm going to go here. When we think of the water covenant, now we're going to have to go back to the garden. Now, the thing is in the garden, everything was pertaining to this earthly life, water life, you know, things that were fed by the water, vegetation, and different things, and this is what it was relative to. Well, there was a violation that took place in that first dimensional perspective of in that water world perspective of thought, of looking at things in this kind of an order. There was a violation that took place. Now, you've heard me say that after the violation took place, then there was an introduction of blood. Remember, we're speaking about water, blood, and spirit. There was an introduction of blood that was made there. And the Lord took and killed these animals to take the skins from them, a bloodshed, and to cover them, to put a covering upon them when they were found naked. You see, the Shekinah glory had removed from them. They were found there naked. They found that they were putting on this beast skin to make a covering. Now, there's a lot to be said here, but let me try to keep it a little bit simple this morning. Now, in this water covenant being violated, the water covenant wasn't no longer active in the Spirit or into the mind of God or to the Father. It was no longer accepted anymore. Now, I could take you on down a little bit farther from the garden and talk about Cain and Abel. And we find out that Cain made an offering unto the Lord from the water world, from the things that grew from the ground and from the earth. And the Lord didn't accept that offering. But you see, and people question, why wouldn't he have accepted that offering? You know, and some will say, well, because the Spirit wasn't right or he wasn't right. No, because that covenant had been violated. And there was a new covenant that had been introduced. But you see, Abel brought a covenant or an offering from a blood covenant. He brought an offering that was a sacrifice of an animal. Now, if you go down through the Old Testament, you're going to find a lot of bloodshed. All the way through the Old Testament, you're going to find a lot of spilt blood. Go into that city and kill every man, every woman, every beast, everything. Bring no spoils out, nothing whatsoever. You know, we find stories of Achan when he decided to bring some gold and things out and they hid it over and he found his whole family and them being put to death. Bloodshed is what I'm talking about. We could find in other places in the scriptures that when they went in and they were told to kill everything and they looked And they think, well, we're going to bring some of them out of there and some of these cattle out of there. And the Lord came and walked among me and said, what is that I hear? Is that cattle that I hear? Are these lambs that I hear? I'm just paraphrasing a little bit. And he was displeased, and they got the chastening of the Lord upon them because they didn't mind him. But there was a lot of bloodshed that was shed all the way through. So we find that God didn't accept this water covenant offering after the blood covenant was introduced. Amen. So now we come into a blood dimension. We find that all through the Old Testament, again, much blood was shed, and we come over here into what we call the New Testament. Now, the thing is actually, when you read about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the closing away of the Old Covenant. The New Covenant was He brought forth and finished the old one, and with the day of Pentecost and this church thing, we could say the book of Acts would really be the beginning of the New Covenant. You understand? Because the other one was finished at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so I'm just saying, you could take this Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say it's the finishing, really, of the Old Testament. And you know, people are going to say, man, who do you think you are, man, to say something like that? Well, you just don't worry about it. You can discard that and you can keep it however you want. But I say it would be more fitting to say the book of Acts would be the beginning of this new covenant. Amen. Now, the thing is when Jesus walked among them, we find twain. Lord and Christ. So we find two covenants again there. But just for thought's sake, now, as we're speaking again about a water, blood, and spirit, these are running some dimensional patterns and relativity and different kind of things to natural, physical, and spiritual, or Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. You know, I teach a lot of things, and see, some people don't hear the end of the matter, like Brother Ed said, and they'll say, oh, and I can make a statement. I could say some things this morning by the Bible and by the Word of God, and many of you Trinitarians could say, oh, he's oneness. And I assure you, I'm not oneness. And then I could say some things over here, and the oneness are going to look at me and say, oh, he's Trinitarian. And I say, no, sir, I'm not Trinitarian. I don't have no Bible for your Trinitarian. I have no Bible for your oneness. I have Bible for one God. I have Bible for Father, Word, Holy Ghost, and I teach them. But you see, I keep these things in the proper dimensions, the proper thoughts, and I don't have to go and teach something in some fleshy, carnal understand to bring a revelation out. You know, and when you go into your doctrines and say that God is three persons, you simply have violated the word of God in the Bible. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you're right there just coming against a lot of people. No, I'm coming against the Catholic Church. As some of you hung on to Catholic doctrine. The Catholic Church is the one that introduced the doctrine of a three-person God. You have three persons, and I could put three persons on the front row, and I say, oh, they're one. The thing is, people go here and thought, and they'll say, well, they're one because they're in the same mind. You know, and the Bible says that when my wife and I marry, we become one. And you say, what does that mean? Well, I'd have to go into that in Revelation again, and I could spend that. And when I got done, if it was praying in the Spirit, you had the mind of discernment. You know, the Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. You would understand exactly what that means. But there's still two persons here. And you say, but we come one in the flesh. You see, I'm bone and bone and flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. And you say, well, I'm not sure what that means. I'm the bride of Christ. Well, I'm not sure what that means. I am sure what it means and know exactly. And that's why I could stand here and tell you I'm a son of God. What are you, the son of God or the bride of Christ, Brother Rob? And the thing is, depends on which plateau or what dimension and which world you're looking at me from. So I've got to understand these things and differentiate them to know the mind of revelation and the mind of God. For I'm not tossed to and fro by your Catholicism and your Catholic doctrines and some of the things that are taking place in this day and hour. You see, you know, we'd like to say, well, I'm going to number myself with the Pentecostals. So the Pentecostals are so crossed up. We've got Pentecostal oneness. We've got Pentecostal threeness. We've got Pentecostal that believe in sanctification and justification. We've got other ones that don't. We've got some that believe in perfection. We've got some that don't. We've got some that say you got to speak in tongues to be saved. There's other ones that say, you know, so how can I number myself with what you call Pentecostals when they're all so confused? They don't know what they are, their own self. And I'm not speaking disrespectful to some great Pentecostal men of God. You know, when people many times ask me, I'll say, yeah, I'm a Pentecostal. But you know, again, when we get down to understanding, we're going to have to make some differentiations because some of them I can't walk with because some of their doctrines I don't agree with and some of the things that they teach. This is why we take adequate time to try to teach dimensional projection or differentiation or way that we could break some things down into Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, body, soul, spirit, first, second, third heaven, natural, physical, spiritual, translation of the spirit, transformation of the soul, transfiguration of the body. You understand that? We have shadows to show those things when they was over in Egypt showing bondage in the flesh, and then they came out into the wilderness showing that they made a crossing coming through the blood, the Red Sea, and why they were making through the Red Sea. They wandered in a wilderness for 40 years, then they came into Canaan. These are things that are happening today, brothers and sisters, and we got to understand it. You were born in bondage in your fleshly mind, your fleshly life, bound up with a mind of Egypt, mind after your first birth, and you're going to have to come out. So you find and understand about the blood of the Lord Jesus, and you come out into a wilderness, a warfare, a fight, and you're out there just like the elect of God were. The ones that went, found themselves in the wilderness, they were struggling to get to Canaan land. Amen. The earth opened up and swallowed many of them up. Some of them stopped and worshiped other gods and other things out there, built golden calves and things to worship, and they died. So now we're talking about you. Yes, you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. You were in bondage of Egypt. You came through the blood of Jesus, and you've come into this wilderness realm of walking, and you're supposed to be walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and you're supposed to cross the Jordan of the Canaan of your intellectual mind. So the thing is why you find yourself going across this wilderness. When you've come to that Jordan, you need to come on across, amen. And there's some wandering around out there. And it wasn't all the children that came out of Egypt that made it over into Canaan land, was it? The earth opened up and swallowed many of them up. And in this day and hour, there's many people saying, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a son of God. The earth is opening up, the love of the world, the cares of this world. The old earth has opened up and swallowed them up in carnality. The carnal mind is death. I hope you can stay with me on some of these things, because this is what will bring you into heaven, amen, and let you know that you're a son of God and sealed away and hid in. Hallelujah. Y'all love the Lord Jesus, amen. All right, let's do a little more reading this morning here. I'm going to go back because I'm not done with this first verse. I told you it might take hours to expound on this, amen. You know, sometimes people come over to my house, the fellowship, and they think, well, what's he going to try to do? Feed me enough for a month? You know, and I say, here, brother, try some of this. Here, try some of that. Here, let me give you this. And they think, okay, brother, I'm full. You know, and it's the same thing in the spirit. And some of you can eat more than others. Some are little babies. And it's like a little baby pulling on the mother's breast, and it'll pull for a while, and it just dozes off to sleep. And during the congregation, you're preaching, trying to get into the depths of God, and maybe trying to bring a little bit of meat. And you got this one that had all it could stand, and they just kind of fall off. You got another one still drawn and hungering a little bit, and you try to go. And you can. You just kind of weigh it out and watch it. Amen. We're talking about being spirit-led. Amen. Back to verse 1 again, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. When I talked about the water covenant, you see, I say it's passed away. That covenant no longer works. I cannot bring offering from my garden or something to God to be accepted sacrifice. Now we come into the blood offering and the blood covenant. Now you think, well, it's still effective. Well, I could say nay and yay. And boy, I know I'd lose some of you there, but here's the end of the matter. You know, well, is the blood covenant still in effect or is it not in effect, Brother Rom? Well, let me tell you something. To a born-again child of God that has come through the blood of the Lord Jesus and has been changed or is a new creature in Christ, then the old things have passed away. The blood covenant is no longer relative there. The blood covenant is what you got there in the spirit. Now, I'm going to show you some of these things in the scripture. Stay with me. I know that you're one of them Pentecostal preachers and you're pleading the blood of Jesus over willful sin. But if you'd go read Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, you're an heir, my dear friend, and I love you. But you're just an heir. You cannot plead the blood of Jesus when people have come to the knowledge of the truth and been enlightened of this world to come and been partakers of these heavenly gifts, and they go off into willful sin and doing the things that they know isn't right. They know it's contrary to the scriptures and the word, and say, I plead the blood. I'm sorry, the blood is no longer going to atone for that according to the scriptures. You've got one thing to look forward to, the Bible says, and that's the fiery indignation of God. And you say, what is that, Brother Rob? Is that hell? And I could say yes, and I could say no. And you say, but the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Well, it depends on who I'm talking to. If you are not the elect of God and you are a heathen predestined before the foreknowledge of God to be put into the lake of fire, who are you to find fault, the Bible says, with me if I have one vessel to honor or another vessel to dishonor? That's Bible now. So the thing is that when we are looking in this kind of thoughts and these kind of things, what is that saying? They got one thing to look forward to, the fire indignation of God. Well, let me talk to you as a son of God. And John the Baptist, when he walked among men, he said, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, speaking about the Lord Jesus, but the one that comes after me, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, he said, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. And the thing is, let me tell you, if you're a son of God and you would go off and walk into things that would appear to be willful sin and you know it's wrong and you know it's not pleasing, the Bible said, blessed is the man who God will not impute sin. The imputing of sin is death, but a son of God can't die. So I'm speaking to you as a son of God, and you go off and do something that they would consider as sin, these worldly people, it would be considered to you in the spirit of the Lord a trespass. Amen. And my Bible says he chastened them that he loves. Well, how does he chasten? Well, you'll find out if you're a child of God and you're out there in willful sin or willful You're going to bring the fiery indignation of God. That Holy Ghost fire is going to come and it's going to purge you. Amen. It's going to be cutting holes in your pockets and you can't get your bearings and finances. It's going to be blowing on everything around you. Your job ain't going to work out. Things ain't going to work around you because you've displeased God and He's chastening you and blowing on your substance. It might be some physical suffering. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. Amen. And the thing is if you're a son of God and you've displeased God and that chastening of the Spirit of God comes to you, you might find yourself losing an arm. You might find yourself losing an eye. Or somebody say, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, you just don't believe the Bible because He said when your eye offends you, you're better off to pluck it out. Amen. And the thing is He would rather you enter into the kingdom maimed, and He would rather see you as a son of God go by the way of the whipping post and suffer in your fleshly body that you could enter into the kingdom of God. Well, you don't like this doctrine. I could see that. And the thing is what you don't like about it because you just want to keep pleading the blood of Jesus and walk like a filthy devil and some kind of a reprobate and live in the world and go out to your ball games and go out to your sports arenas and go out to your roller parks and do all your foolishness, amen, and just plead the blood of Jesus and you're a heathen and you need to get born again. Because when you're born again, you get filled with the Spirit of God and you're led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, and Spirit-led people ain't led out there into the filth of this world, amen. And so we're just about ready to get doing some preaching here now, amen, but we're going to try to do some teaching. All right, Brother Rob, downshift just a little bit. Take it easy, boy. Amen. I love you. I love the Word. Amen. And the thing is, I just don't like devils. Amen. And the old devil come in and they get their old religious attire on and got their little three-piece suit on and boy, and they just all proper and trim and everything like that. And all it is a wolf. You know, I could see right past that sheep clothing and I could see that old wolf nature and they just need to get born again. You know how many people are sitting in churches with the ministers of Satan? I got Bible for that. I'll tell you what. Let me tell you this, and this might alarm you a little bit. There's more churches with ministers of Satan than there are with ministers of God. Now, you can go count it and number it up if you got discernment. I don't have time to do that. I'm preaching the Word of God. There are more churches in the world with ministers of Satan. They're calling the name Jesus. They're saying all the right things, but they're just hirelings. Amen. You know, there's a difference between a hireling and the true elect of God and the true ministers of God. There's a difference, amen. When it's all about money and it's all about finances and it's about not offending people to get money, they're just a hireling. They need to get born again. There's a lot of television and radio evangelists and a lot of preachers. Just simply got one thing will solve all problems. They just need to get born again. Well, they're preachers, brother. They went to college and stuff. And I said, I don't care. They need to get born again. There was one numbered with the 12 that walked with God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ among the earth. And he was nothing but more than the devil himself. Amen. You know, we got to stay with the Word and believe and trust the Word. Okay, so we're talking about the first earth were passed away and was no more seen. Now, again, most people that read this 21st chapter, they're reading it in the thinking this way. I'm going ahead of myself here a little bit because if I'd read it on, you would understand chronologically how people think. They think that they're reading this and they're speaking about this millennium coming in and this change of this earth. And it does apply there, but we have to look at it again in three different dimensions to really understand it. I'm trying to bring it out to you in a second dimension, the water world done away with. Now, the thing is we step into the blood world or the blood covenant and we find again bloodshed all the way through the Old Testament. But see, that was done away with also. And you say, wait a minute, Brother Rob, Jesus said it's finished. Okay, he finished it. Blood life has to do with death. Amen. And in the water world, you take the water away, things die. Physical realm, second heaven, soul realm, it dies when you take the blood away from it. Now, the soul is eternal. Now, some of you will have troubles with that, but the destiny of the soul is what's being taken care of or being figured. You know, the destiny of that. The Bible said, don't worry about the one that could kill your flesh, but worry about the one that could take your soul. So the thing is the soul is either going to find itself in eternal damnation or it's going to find itself hid away, sealed in with Christ, eternal in the heavens, amen, through all of eternity. So we're differentiating things. When you get into the second dimension or the second heaven or the soul realm, we've got both worlds present, or I should maybe say all three. Because the thing is that Satan being cast out of the heaven, the third heaven, into the earth, he's climbed up into the second heaven in the soul through man. Okay, he's climbed up there. He wants to get back into the third. But once he makes it back into the third, he's going to be found there without the wedding garment and be cast out. You understand what I'm saying? Because he climbs up through an intellectual concept and an intellectual understanding. There's a lot of people that are moved by intellect. They like to hear people with their Bible quotes. And they like to hear people with their studies and different things. And they're moved by intellect. I'm not trying to move you this morning by intellect. Because it's the Spirit that has life. It's the Spirit that is power. Amen. So again, as we're looking and breaking some of these things down, and we say this water covenant done away with, the blood covenant is. I say the blood covenant's done away with. Jesus hung his head at Calvary and said it's finished. When he said it's finished, what was finished? The blood covenant. It was finished. The Lord wasn't satisfied with the bloodshed of bulls and goats. You understand that? He wasn't satisfied with that. But then yet, he was satisfied with this offering, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This offering that came, and the Son of Man that was killed on the cross of Calvary. He was satisfied with that, and it abolished death. It done away with that. We no longer know him after the image that he came to earth in. We no longer know him after that. We know him now by the Spirit of resurrection. Amen. And you say, well, where is this Spirit of resurrection? You've been listening to him this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. He came forth out of hell. He came forth out of the earth. He came forth and made a promise. And he said, before he went in, he made a promise. You go and tarry there in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Amen. That was the promise of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That was the promise of the resurrection, brothers and sisters. And when they went over there and they tarried there, that Spirit of the resurrection, amen. The Bible said that we are the children of the resurrection. We are the children of light, amen. And you say, what dimension are you in now? Well, I went over here to the third, but I'm fixing to expound a little more on the second, amen. And you say, well, I don't know about all this first, second, third. Well, then you just go over in your Bible and you rip out the part that said third heaven. And you go over in your Bible and just rip out the part that said water, blood, and spirit. And you just go over there and we'll rip it out in your Bible where it said the Word, the Spirit, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And you're going to have to start taking some things out of there. Amen. If we're differentiating minds, again, we're going to find three minds in your head. And I find I want to speak to you in the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to get you to come to an understanding to be equal with God. And you say, I can't do that. I know, you'll never get there, brothers and sisters. But if you get born again, you'll find out that you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that you are heirs with him, and he's given you everything that pertaineth unto life. Amen. You become one with him. Amen. So you are afraid to talk like that, and you shouldn't talk like that to a man. I'm not speaking as a man. I'm speaking as a God. You say, oh, no. Preacher, you think you're a God? You know, it's not what I think, because my thoughts will put me in hell. It's what Jesus said, isn't it? When Jesus came among them, they were taking up stones to stone him. Is this correct? They were taking up stones to stone the Lord Jesus. Okay, and he said, for what good works have I done that you want to take and stone me? And they said, it's not for the good works that you've done. It's because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. So while you're stoning me, that's okay, amen. I'm expect that. Amen. But the thing is, I'm not speaking as a man when I say I'm a God. You know, what is the new creature? What is the one born of God? You see, I was born as a man. That's a man appointed unto death, appointed to go back to corruption, appointed to flesh, all men's hearts, fashion, life. But I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, born again. What are you speaking now by? By the Spirit. What is the Spirit? I'm a son of God. Oh, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Well, what is a son of God? It's begotten after God. The begotten of God. It's begotten after God. So man reproduces man. Pigs reproduce pigs, and elephants, elephants, and God's gods. Amen. You know what's funny is they'll fight me, the Pharisee spirit. They'll fight me on a statement like that, but they'll turn around and call Satan the god of this world. They'll call him a god, but they won't call me one in my born again as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the thing is I'm not trying to speak as little children here today. I'm trying to speak to you as spirituals, people that are established before you can grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But see, people, they don't hear it the way they heard it in their dried up church, or they don't hear it exactly the way they heard it in their theological institution, you know, when they got their doctor's degree. I had a couple doctors come over here and visit us not too long ago, and I've never seen such intellectual ignorance and darkness in all of my life. I've never seen something so shallow in the depths of God in all of my life. And they call themselves doctors of theology. And I'm thinking, man, if this is what the world is drawn to, no wonder it's in such a slop hole mess, this what we call church world. If these are supposed to be the leaders of this era and of this day, these theologians with their doctor's degree and all their college education and stuff, I had never witnessed such darkness in all of my life. Let's read on here, amen. Can you stay with me for a little while? Let's go to verse 2. I could stay over here in verse 1 and expound for hours, brothers and sisters. Not saying I'm anything, but the Word of God is everything. Amen. And the depths of the Spirit are uncomprehendable, man, of the things of the Spirit world and the Spirit life. Trying to keep some things a little bit simple, laying a little bit of a foundation. I wouldn't be offended with you if you left a service like this, or you hooked up on the way of internet or whatever and think, man, I just don't understand that. Let me tell you something. That's not offensive. And I know the Bible said the wicked don't understand it. I'm not going to number you wicked, but some of these things, it takes some time to start growing in the grace and knowledge of God. The first time I said under a revelation, congregation. I thought, man, and the guy was speaking English, my pastor. And I thought, man, he was speaking English, but I understood nothing. My mind up here was fruitless. But then I remember 5 years later, a brother that was over the tape ministry came and handed me the tape of the first night I was there. And I remember, man, it was so over my head. And I went back and listened to that thing 5 years later. And after the brother had sent me up here to pastor, and I listened and I thought, wow, man, that was simple. I hope that you could find the simplicity of the gospel in this. You know, when I'm talking to little tiny babies that just need the milk of the word and talk about being born again, accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you know, and talk to them about the need to learn how to pray and go into the elementary things, I love that. You know, just like you might be a master degree in whatever you are, might be a pilot, you might be an Einstein of this world or whatever, but you like to come down with your little grandson and pick him up and hey, and he says, hey, Pop, I learned my ABCs, and you could be just as excited with them, amen. But the Bible said, you know, not laying again the foundation of repentance. And you know, it's okay to talk about, you know, being born again and being washed in the blood and, you know, accepting Jesus Christ. But we got to go into some things, into some doctrine that we could be established and not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. It's wonderful to be standing in the presence of people that have some mind and some indoctrination. Verse 2, it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And see, some people are going to say, well, this is the bride. Does it say that? If we read it again, is this the bride, brother? Now, if I'm talking about something, I could speak about something masculine and I could speak about something feminine as a comparison to say, look how beautiful it is. Look how pure it is. We could say that this New Jerusalem, pure and clean, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, pure, adorned as a bride. And I, John, verse 2 again, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Okay, now we're talking about men and we're talking about God here. Okay, so now if I want to speak to you about the third heaven, let me tell you what's in third heaven. There's no men there. There's no women there. There's no male, no female. It's in the spirit. You say, well, I'm the bride of Christ in the spirit. And I said, no, sir, you just don't understand. It's okay. The woman's for reproduction. That's why the woman was saved in childbearing. Now, when I step into the dimension and say I'm the bride of Christ, God was repented that he made man, but he saved me as the woman for childbearing, what? To reproduce the image of God. Amen. I'm the bride. And a bride that doesn't bring forth a child is lost. That's why they were saved in childbearing. And when the woman brings forth the child, I'm the bride of Christ, bringing forth the Son of God. I could take you over in another place in the book of Revelation, show this to you. Amen. And you just got to learn to differentiate. Well, what am I, Brother Rob? Am I Son of God or the bride of Christ? And I said, depends on where you're looking at from. But the bride who's running in the second dimension, just as Jesus ran in the second dimension. You say, wait a minute, he's God. And I say, yea and amen, but we just broke him down into a 1, 2, 3, or into the mediator between God and man. He came as both of them, both as man and both as God. Son of man, Son of God came in the second dimension as a bridge, as the crossing point, the cross. And he took the penalties of the fleshly world, and he brought the revelation of the spirit world, and he brought them together, and he reached down into death and abolished it and swallowed it up and took it away. And that was the end of blood life. Amen. And now we're the sons of God led by the Spirit. So I'm going to speak to you as unto spirituals, and I'm going to talk to you as not a man after death, not a man after corruption, not a man after the beggarly elements of the world, not as a man after adultery, fornication, drunkenness, and all the filth and the perversions of the flesh, but I'm going to speak to you about the purity of being a son of God and be the purity of the bride bringing forth the sonship, amen, and walking in the spirit of the living God. Please learn how to differentiate the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, for you can know who you are and get established. Amen. There's many people that profess Christianity and they don't know who they are nor what kind of authority they have, and they're being beat up by the old devil. They're being tossed to and fro, and they need to gird their loins up like men. Amen. And they need to walk in the spirit and the power and the authority. You know, if I said that there was a woman over here, a neighbor or a woman over here, and I said that some beast, some reprobate broke into her house and ravished her, tell you something, friends. You go to church and you sit with people that are being molested and raped on a daily basis. They go off into these churches. They go off into their internet sites and they go off and they're being molested by demon unclean spirits. They're putting intellectual concepts of darkness into their minds and into their thoughts. And they're standing and arguing and fighting over some kind of carnal concept instead of coming to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been molested. Amen. You see, let me say this for we can understand where I'm at here for a moment. You see, when we think in the natural realm, God saved the natural woman for man could reproduce his image. If God would have took woman off the face of the earth, man could not reproduce his image. You understand that? So Eve was in the transgression and the fall, not Adam. But Adam went to show the Lord Jesus Christ. He went and partook of it, of the sin, or partook of the thing they were commanded not to do, because that's how much love he had for the wife. Well, now Jesus had so much love for us that he was not sin, but he partook of it for you would not have to. And he went in and took the penalty of death and was put into hell and came forth as more than a conqueror. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Hallelujah. Now I'm talking to you in sonship as sons of God this morning, trying to speak to you by the Spirit of the living God. Now, the thing is when we start breaking these things apart and looking at them, we saw that the woman was saved for she could bring forth the image of man. Now, the thing is me as a man, I come into the bride dimension and I say that God repented that he made man, but he saves me, or saves mankind, so to speak, and pays the price and the penalty for their fall and their failure, and that cleaned them and washed them with the blood and made them pure, that he could bring this woman, this bride, into the secret chambers of God, and he could put that seed within her to bring forth the heir to the throne of God. That's the sons of God. You understand that? So now we're looking at things from another plateau, another dimension, for we can understand the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, and I heard a great voice out of heaven, verse 3, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, there's some key things right there in that verse. He's standing talking about the tabernacle dwelling with men. So I'm not speaking about the third heaven here. Amen. Because the things that go into the third heaven isn't relative to man in the fallen image of man. It's relative to the spirit. The third heaven has to do with the spirit. Now, the thing is we were talking about beast flesh, fish flesh, and different kinds of things. There is a spirit flesh. The Bible said celestial bodies. Now you think, well, that's something out there in the heavens. Well, let me tell you, you're starting to get an understanding and a revelation there. But let me say this to you. When we go into the spirit, some of you have fallen off and it makes it very difficult. You know what? If you're not concerned for your own souls and your own lives to learn the things of God and quit being tossed around, please have enough decency with your puffed up fleshly self thinking that you already know these things to have a little bit of a drawing and respect and hunger while the Spirit of God is speaking, because there could be somebody getting life out there on the internet right now. Please show some respect in the house of God and keep a little bit of a drawing, because I'll have to close the service if you keep stumbling up and getting in the way. Amen. With all respect, I say that in love. We're trying to win souls. The Bible said, ye that win souls are wise. Amen. Some of you think you understand where I'm at and every day, and you have an intellectual concept and you haven't got a hold of the revelation of the Lord, because it's evident in your life with your stumbling around and your frolics and your fleshly minds and your worldliness and all the love of the world. You're just not where you need to be. God's merciful. He's with you. He shows mercy to you and grace. Amen. And he's working with you, perfecting you. Amen. But I'm a minister, sin of God, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort, and I'm trying to help you. Amen. That you can make it all the way. Amen. The Bible said you ran the race well, but what's hindered you? Amen. There's a lot of people that have entered into this race and are not going to make it. As I use the shadow or the allegories of the children, the elect children of God, being the natural Jew, the Hebrew children coming out of Egypt over there, they all didn't make it into Canaan. Some of you haven't quite crossed over the Jordan yet of this intellectual mind. You haven't crossed over the Jordan, amen. And the thing is the carnal mind is death. The carnal mind will kill you and put you and cut you off from God. So don't lean to you're not going to get this by carnality. You're not going to get this by memorization. You're not going to get this by quoting great men of God. You're going to get this by one thing, and that's discernment of the Spirit, by being sensitive to the Spirit of God and being in prayer. You see, if I walked into a fourth grade class and I'm a college professor, I'm not going to sit in that fourth grade class while the man is teaching thinking, oh boy, if you just And thank you, sir, for bringing these things to these people that they could perceive and understand that, or to these children, for they could be in my class next year. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go on just a little bit here. Now, it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You say, you're most definitely, Brother Rob, I promise you that what you're reading there is future. You say it's future because there's still people that are dying. It's future, Brother Rob. Well, let me ask you if this is future. Beloved, now ye are the sons of God. Now, is that future? Maybe in your doctrines and your understanding, maybe that's future. My Bible said, beloved, my Bible teaches this also. It says that if you do not believe that Jesus is, not was, but that Jesus is, come in the flesh, you're Antichrist. So is Jesus in the flesh? What flesh is he in? Is he in the telestial flesh or celestial flesh? Which flesh is he in? Let me tell you something. He is in the transfiguration to change that corruptible flesh into incorruptible. So he's in the works of both of them here because he is all one. You see, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, there is no other God beside me. You understand? He, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you will put him in a chronological order and say he had a beginning 2,000 years ago, you just don't know your Bible. You understand that? You say, well, Brother Rob, I understand you were born in 1958. That was your beginning. See, you just don't know your Bible. I'm a son of God. I was leaping for joy before the world ever was. You see, I'm trying to get you to get out of your mind of death and start understanding the mind of Christ, the mind of Revelation. You know, we got to come into a mind and get established of who we are in Christ. And we just play church. We go to church. Oh, bless God, I'm a Christian. I said the sinner's prayer. I spoke in tongues. You know, I danced around the church. I got a goosebump and stuff. And you and about 10 billion other people in hell are going to be saying the same thing while you chew on one another. Now, I'm not mocking the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the gifts of God. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying that's not what vindicates sonship and sons of God. Amen. Those things happen to son of gods. But there's a counterfeit and a familiar spirit. And there's people that come in and they walk among you. And the rain comes down on the just and the unjust. You know what the difference is between a just and an unjust? There's nothing justified in the flesh. It's unjust. But the only thing that's justified is by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And we're justified in the spirit. The justification runs in the spirit realm. Sanctification is in this dimension that you're looking at right now, that we're pressing into the things of God, perfecting, amen, bringing the works into perfection, bringing the things of the invisible world into manifestation that people could see the works of God. We're bringing the revelation of Jesus Christ alive in the earth today, being the revealing of the invisible things that people could comprehend and see and understand God, because we are the body of Christ walking in the earth, doing the good to them that despitefully use us. We're bringing the word of God alive, the spirit of the word alive today, because he'd never left. You see, you think, well, he left here 2,000 years ago and he's coming back. That's a lie to the scriptures. You poor thing, a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. That's why you're tossed to and fro and stumble around, because you're sick in your heart. You're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, amen. He's here. He's been here all the time. He's walking with us. He's rejoicing with us. He's in us. Amen. If he's in me and I'm in him, then how can I say I'm looking for his coming? Now, I know that when he comes back to this earth, he's not coming back to the church. He's coming back to the other elect. He's already come to you and I, the church, the many-membered body. He came, he promised, he said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. What's the power? It's God. He came back in the Holy Ghost, amen. And he dwelled within us, amen, and with us, hallelujah. You can't separate us from him. Nothing could be laid to your charge because he's with us and in us, and he's hid us away, amen. So when he comes back, it says, when they saw him ascend up off of Mount of Olives, it says, why do you gaze here into the sky? In like manner that you've seen him go, he's coming back in like manner. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When he comes back in that matter, he's coming back to the natural Jew. These ones that have denied him and cut him off and crucified him. He's coming back and he's going to show those nail prints in his hand and say, hey, I got these here in the house of my friends. Amen. And he's going to set up headship and rulership in Jerusalem for you, the church. No, he's setting it up for the Jews, because that is their day then. And that is their hour. We're the in, amen, because the other one was plucked out and we were grafted in, amen. This is we, the sons of God. We are now the sons of God. I'm not looking for this thing. I am the Son of God, walking in the Spirit, fellowshipping with Him, supping with Him. He talks to me. He leads me. He directs me. He guides me. He's talked to me. So why am I going to keep talking like He's not here and He's coming someday out of some poor pitiful thing? When He comes back, He's coming for them, amen. And in that day, we're going to be standing in His likeness, amen, as the sons of God, of what we were before the foundation of the world. You know, and you bunch of Pentecostals are going to fight up against this predestination and things. How can you say that there's no predestination when you open up your Bibles and read in your Bibles, amen, and it said that He predestined us in Christ, amen, not in some denomination or something, in Christ, amen. I'm predestined in Christ, amen. The thing is, we need to understand that. And you say, well, I knew you was once saved, always saved. You know, I knew you was one of them Calvinists. You poor reprobate. You know, just get out of your intellectual filth and perversion. You know, the Calvinists got some proper doctrine, and so do the Arminians. If you'd get in the mind of Christ, you'd understand what they're fighting about and what they're arguing about. The thing is, I can't speak as a once saved, always saved as a man. I speak it as a born again child of God before the world ever was. If Jesus never lost one, I'm hid away. Yes, I'm saved. Nothing can happen. Now, the thing is if you see me go back into the world, you say, oh, he's backslid. There's no doctrine for your backsliding. You just think you know something. You're puffed up in your fleshly mind and you don't know nothing, the Bible said. The thing is backsliding's Old Testament doctrine. We get over in the New Testament, he never lost a one. You understand that? And the thing is that you say, well, the son of perdition was backslid. It said he desired to eat of the husk. It didn't say he ate of it. Yeah, he went out and frolicked his money away just like sons of God do. But you ain't backslid. You're a child of God. He said, I've healed your backsliding. I'm married unto the backslider. You understand that? You're talking about the things of your first birth. I'm not speaking about your first birth. I'm talking about ye that are born of God and born again. You cannot sin. You cannot backslide. You cannot die. You understand that? That's a wonderful place to be. Hey, amen. I'm speaking by the Spirit of the living God. I got assurance. I'm not just wondering. You know, you say, oh, I'm a son of God, you know, and he's going to beat me up someday, you know, and he's going to do this and he's going to do that and he's going to cast some of them into hell. There'll never be a son of God cast into hell. You understand that? You just better make your calling and your election sure. If you think that I'm the elect and I praise God, I'm the elect because I said some prayer, I got a goosebump, that's not what makes you elect. Let me tell you something. When you're the elect of God, it's because you got the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus Christ living in you. And when you got that Spirit of the living God dwelling and living in you, you're walking in all authority. You're walking in all power. You're walking in the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And that's when you're hid away. And that's when nothing can get to you. Nothing can touch you. But when you're tossed around by this world with the love of this world, you are of your father, the devil. Amen. That's pretty plain talk, ain't it? With all due respect, I love you. Amen. There's a solution for all problems. And it's called getting born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go on here just a little bit. I've got so many things that I want to share with you. I know I'm not going to have time to go into all these things this morning. I wanted to expound on some more of these scriptures and speak about some of these things. I can't see the address on that one at the top. I usually look up there at it and kind of find where I'm at. Get to preaching, get caught away a little bit and not sure where I'm at sometimes. I know where I'm at all the time. I'm in heaven. Are you crazy, preacher? You think you're in heaven? No, I don't think I'm in heaven. I know I'm in heaven. Amen. I got a Bible for it. I could read it to you. I'm in heaven. Amen. You know, and you say, well, I don't believe you. And I say, well, you're in heaven too. Right. You say, well, I don't believe you. You're going to believe me when they cast you into hell. You're going to think this was heaven with your air conditioning and your heater and your cup of cold water. You're going to know you was in heaven. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to know you was in heaven when you're burning in that eternal flames. You know, what heaven are you speaking about, Brother Rob? Well, there's a first, second, and third. I talk about them all. And when I talk about the third heaven, that's where the sons of God are caught away to and hid away in. That's where there's no sin. That's where the perfection's at. That's what Jesus done for us. Isn't that wonderful what he did? Amen. And then we start teaching about the second heaven, and we're down here condescended from the third heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ walking among men right now. Is what we're doing. We're the sons of God, ambassadors from heaven, coming in here walking among men right now, trying to bring them into a revelation understanding that they could enter into the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what we're doing right now. We're trying to get them to enter into where we're at. Amen? But we're down here giving them a way. Who's the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. There's no other way to enter in. You're not going to get it through seminary. You're not going to get it on Facebook. The only way you're going to get it is through Jesus and Him alone. Amen? Verse 5, and he said upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. He These words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Now you see, if we can't differentiate this, if we're going to make all this already this heaven, the third heaven, then why are we giving still water to ones that are athirst? You see, we got to differentiate this word. Again, we make the mistake of getting into a chronological thing, and we read over here in Revelation 21, and say, oh yeah, this is the heavens, earth, the pathways talking about this. But let me tell you something. You know, I could say there's an application for that, but through the mind of differentiation. Now, if I took you over to Matthew, the 24th chapter, most of our doctors and theologians and stuff, they'll take you over there, and they read all of Matthew 24 as future, something to come pass and happen. And I could take you over there, dearly beloved, and I could read it with a revelation and an understanding that it has all been fulfilled. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, then you're an unbeliever. I can do that. Because you see, I could speak about the God that was. I got a guideline. I got to stay in speaking about the one that was. And when I speak about the one that is, I got a guideline that I speak about it as we as earthly men. Then we talk about the God that is and how he's dealing with earthly man and the things that are taking place. And I got some guidelines to stay in. And then when we talk about the one to come, there's some guidelines that we have to stay in. And these are chronological orders. But the thing is that this breakdown of God is for one thing and one thing only, is to bring forth a comprehension of God. You see, the whole Old Testament, we call it the Book of Shadows. You know, if you are an expert of history of the Bible and you say, oh yeah, let me tell you, you know, this is where Joseph was born at in this particular country. And then this is what took place. You know, his brothers took him out and was betrayed by his brothers, and he was bought into slavery, and they took him off over in there into Egypt. And this was the year that it took place. And this is the month that this happened on, and thus, thus, and thus. I say, good man, praise God. I'm so thrilled for historians, and I love the stories. But if you can't bring it into the revelation of what it was pointing to and what it was showing, it showed the Lord Jesus Christ being rejected by his brethren, the Jews. And they rejected them. Amen. And we find it where they brought this coat back, this coat of many colors. And we understand what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was that was shed. You know, this was pointing a story. And then he went over, and as his brothers came in and before them, that he had the authority and the power of life and death over them to either give them provisions or not. He had the authority to incarcerate every one of them. He had the authority there in Egypt. He said, take them all and put them to death. All those ones that denied him right there, man, he had their soul right there hanging in the balance. It's the same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was something pointing to, as I said, of coming out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and going out there. See, it was, if we just get the story about what Moses did and all these kind of things, but a prophet as unto Moses. And we got to understand some of these things, that all those things were pointing to a present day revelation, a present day truth, for you would know who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to know who we are. And quit talking like men, acting like men, with the love of the world and the love of the beggarly elements of this world. We need to start walking in the Spirit of the living God. And just because you don't know how to differentiate first, second, third heaven, or body, soul, spirit, inner man and outer man, don't try to make this wrong in your carnal concepts, in your carnal mind, because it'll kill you and destroy you. What dimension are you talking about? Every single one of them. Amen? Because there already are some twice dead that are among you, that walk among you. They're dead, twice dead. You say, well, the Bible talks about a second death. Well, if something's done twice, ain't that the second time? That means there's no repentance in this world or the world to come. Amen. And you say, well, that's one that blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, what do you think speaking to you today? It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you speak against this, the anointing of God. You speak against the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you speak against that. You could blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. You know, and the thing is, you say, oh, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'll make allowances for little babies. Amen. But let me tell you something, you find yourself in some dangerous doctrine. A woman looked at me not long back and said, you're nothing but the devil. And she said, everybody in your church, Christian temple's going to hell. And this and that. And I said, you shouldn't say those things. I love you. And I said, I got enough God into me to know this, sister. If you're right that I'm on my way to hell, God, have mercy on me. But I know I got enough God to know this, that you can't have that kind of spirit of bitterness in you. It'll kill you and destroy you. And about a year after that statement, she took her last breath. Why you say that, preacher? Because you don't speak against the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you don't call the things of God the devil. It'll take your life and shorten your days. She may have the price on this side and shortened her days and maybe made it in. You know, that's between the Lord. Who are you to find fault with God if he has one vessel to honor and another one to dishonor? I find no fault, because if you do get a report that Brother Rob made it into heaven, it's not because I was a preacher or a good preacher or a bad preacher. The only way I made it in is by the blood shed of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because he's good, not because me. It's not because I was obedient, amen. But I'll tell you what, his spirit is the spirit of obedience. And when you got the Holy Ghost, you're going to be obedient to God's word. Hallelujah. Y'all love the Lord this morning. Amen. I want to make sure I could close here. I know we said a lot of things, and there's no way I could bring all these things up to a finalization or to clear all these things up. Just pray and ask God. Pray and say, Lord Jesus, grant me the spirit of revelation. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that you would grant your spirit to me, your understanding to me, and open up my mind, open up my eyes, open up my understanding. When Jesus walked among men, he said, though you have eyes, you don't see. Amen. And you know, they're looking at him and say, what you talking about? You see, we're differentiating. They didn't have eyes to see in the spirit. They were carnal, puffed up in their own mind, thought they knew something and they didn't know what they needed to know. There's people that think they're under the grace of God. They think they're under the blood of Jesus, and God just loves everybody. If you're one of those people who think God loves everybody, I'm sorry, you're wrong. He said he's angry with the wicked and pursues them off the face of the earth. He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And they were still little children in the womb. But through this predestination that some of you don't believe in, they looked down through the foreknowledge of Esau's life, and he hated the things that he did and sold his birthright. And some of you are selling out your birthright for the beggarly elements of this world, for fleshly lust, fleshly prestige, to be recognized of people, and oh, look at me, and this and that, and you got yourself in an Indian death march, just walking in a big circle of death, and all you need to do is get born again and walk in the spirit of the living God and be led by the spirit of God. Amen. I hope I said some things this morning to you to expand your horizons, I may say, or to make you start considering the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's word, that you can start trying to differentiate between these worlds, these heavens, these dimensions, and figure out which one is relative to what. My flesh relative to this world, earth. My soul is in a differentiation realm, just like Jesus came in the second dimension between the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he bring this crossing. That's where I'm at when I'm here speaking to you and what you could see. I'm representing the cross. I'm representing this middle partition that will be done away with. And the thing is, I'm bringing you to an understanding or a revelation that you could be caught away into heavenly places and hid away in Christ. It's wonderful if you'll find yourself there in heaven, dwelling in peace and tranquility. And as we read here a moment ago, in the scriptures, let me read that one more time. In verse 4 it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And you say, that's future, Brother Rob, because people are still dying. You know, that's future. People are still in pain. Well, in their dimension, they're still in pain. But let me talk about this Son of God that's caught away to the throne. Let me talk about this inner quickening spirit. Amen. It is no sorrow, no pain. You understand that? It's walking in joy. This is why when the apostles came out, or the disciples came out of the prison over there in the New Testament, they were going to be beaten for the name of the Lord. They were leaping with joy because they weren't saying, oh boy, my old flesh is going to ache after they be. They were found worthy because they'd come to a same place that Jesus was at. Amen. And they found themselves being worthy to be beaten for his name's sake. And they had joy, a joy that surpasses all this worldly understanding. You understand that? And the thing is that's when you made it into heaven. See, I'm not struggling for my salvation down here in this earth, brothers. I'm pressing and enduring for others could see salvation and have salvation. That's what my whole purpose and my plan is to bring Jesus Christ to walk among men, that they could see his good, his love. I'm nothing. I'm the least of all of you. I'm not projecting me as anything. I'm a son of God. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He now lives in me. It's him now speaking. Anything to give honor to isn't me. It's to God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not trying to puff myself up or make me somebody special. I am somebody special. I'm a son of God. Amen. He made me special. I'm the apple of his eye. You understand that? That's what he thinks about his bride even. Amen. Amen. He loved you so much that he shed his blood and gave his life for you. And he's going to help you and caress you. There was a place prepared in the wilderness for that woman. You understand that? The red dragon was there to devour the child just as soon as it was born. Amen. That red dragon has to do with blood life. It wants to swallow up that spirit life. It wants to devour devour it. It wants to kill it away. But there was a place prepared. And as soon as that child was born, it was caught up to the throne. That's where I'm at. I've already been caught up to the throne. I'm a child of God. And you say you think too highly of yourself. You better hope your bone and bone and flesh of the Lord. Because while you're arguing against predestination, I'm predestined in Christ. Not in Rob Coons, not in doctrine, not anything but Christ. Amen. So I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. So we're predestined in Christ. Well, he's already caught up to the throne. We're caught up with him. Amen. There we abide. Praise this is why the Bible said we abide in heavenly places. Amen. So while we're abiding with Christ, there with him where he is, we're there also. But now what you're seeing here today is we condescend again to speak to mankind, to bring them to this revelation, this understanding. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Y'all love the Lord. Hallelujah. Just scratching the surface of things. I wish we could really take time to go on, but sometimes people could just take a little bit at a time. Amen. If you tuned in with us by the way of the internet, thank you for coming out with us. We hope that you were challenged in doctrine and in understanding. We pray and trust that the Lord Jesus Christ will help you to open up your eyes to see and to perceive and to understand. At any time, you will not let these things slip. Amen. We've got a place on our webpage at ChristianTempleOnline.org. There's a place to ask questions. You could challenge me. I'm not offended. You could tell me I'm of the devil. That's okay. They told the Son of God that when he come walked among men, they said, you ain't nothing more than the devil. Amen. A wine bibber and stuff. You can get mad at me. That's okay. I can handle that. I love you. Amen. You can stone me, crucify me, lie against me. You could do whatever. I still love you. Amen. But write me. Amen. If you're in disagreement with me, write me and say, well, brother, I'm in disagreement. And explain to me what dimension I was in that you're disagreeing with. Was I speaking by the third heaven that you're disagreeing with, or by the first heaven, or by the second heaven? Amen. I understand them all. And sometimes it's easy to make me wrong for you could feel like you're right. Being right isn't what brings you into the kingdom. It's being born again that what brings you into the kingdom of God. And when you're born again, you're not going to be one of these people that are chewing the preacher up in the mind. You just ain't going to do that. You ain't going to chew the preacher up in mind when you're born again, because that's the son of perdition side. That's the devil, the accuser of the brethren that's always chewing up the preacher. Amen. This preacher's got the life and everything that pertains to life with all authority and power given unto me as a preacher to remit or to retain sin. And you say you got no Bible for that. Well, you better start reading your Bibles, because that's what we're doing here. The last thing Jesus told them, he said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what he told them. So we go find it fulfilled over in the book of Acts. And they went forth and they baptized them in the name of Jesus, because there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Amen. Where did that happen at? It happened way back there at Calvary, but we're bringing it to a present day truth. We take a man down to the water hole and we baptize him in the name of Jesus. Are you saying that water washed him away? No, you just don't know your dimensions or how to differentiate. It was the blood that washed away his sin. And that was before the world ever was, because their name was put in the book of life before the world ever was, is what the Bible says. But we're fulfilling it. You say Jesus Christ was crucified 2,000 years ago. It shows you, Mr. Bible professor, you don't know what you're talking about. You just thought he was, but my Bible said he was crucified before the world ever was. You just saw the manifestation of something that happened before the world ever was. Amen. That's why I say I'm already a son of God, because it was before the world ever was. And you're chronological and you're stuck in your fleshly mind and you think you know everything and you don't know what you need to know. Get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Ask God to open up your mind and your understanding, and then you could be walking in the Spirit with the sons of God leaping for joy. Amen. Let's give him another hand. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. Our God's a mighty good God. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song, brother.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to ChristianTempleOnline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.